Monster Man, Episode 336, Hook Beast and Hypno Snake.
Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games.
In today's episode, we'll be continuing our journey through the Monsters section of Creature Catalog, the 1986 supplement for Basic Dungeons & Dragons. Before we do that, though, a little housekeeping to take care of. Over the rest of December, and maybe into January for a bit, I'm going to be changing the release schedule of Monster Man. And this is something that happened last year, the Monster Man Holiday Boss Rush. But last year, I kind of overdid it. And so I'm making some changes, basically to make sure that I don't do that again. One thing that happens toward the end of every year is, if you pledge at the $5 level, you get your own special episode of Monster Man. And it's very important to me that that's not just a one-time thing. You know, that the $5 patron level continues to offer a benefit to the people who, you know, like, make the commitment to pledge at that level. So it's not just like, oh, you get a thing right at the beginning, and then for the rest of, you're just paying and not really getting anything more than a $2 pledge person would. And so currently the way that I do that is that I go around the list. When I get to the end of the list of $5 patrons, I start doing special episodes for the top of the list again. And that is fine, except, and this is one of those good problems to have, I'm starting to have too many $5 patrons. So in order to make sure that the $5 patrons get their special episodes this year, or at least not that late, I'm going to be increasing the rate of special episode releases. I'm going to try and go from once a week to twice a week. Now that is a lot. And in order to do that, I'm going to be shifting the regular release episodes from twice a week to just once a week. This won't change the amount of Monster Man that you get in your podcast feed, because I'm taking out the end of the week regular episode and replacing it with an end of the week special episode. All it's going to change for now is the topic of that episode. And in fact, you're going to get a little bit more Monster Man every week because those special episodes are longer than the regular episodes. This is just a way for me to manage the challenges of the existing release schedule, you know, and try to get it done as much as possible in time for the holidays. I think there are a few that are going to run over, but hopefully not by very long. So thank you for your patience as I try and, you know, make sure that everybody gets their episodes. It's just very important to me that patrons at that level are receiving continuing rewards. And what I'm going to do once I get to over 52 of them, I don't know. It's something that we're going to have to think about in the new year. You know, but rest assured, nothing's going to change about my commitment to my patrons at all levels getting value for their money. It's very important to me. Okay, with that out of the way, let's take a look at the monsters in this part of the monster section. Now, first up, we have the Hook Beast. This is a bit of a funny one. The Hook Beast is a catch-all category that includes two not really all that similar monsters, the Hook Horror and the Hulker. Now, the Hook Horror will be familiar to us from the Fiend Folio, and it is an example of a monster that I believe has its origin in the miniatures line, that the Fiend Factory miniatures line has a number of models that just kind of, you know, they're just cool-looking monsters, and then someone, you know, had to write up stats for them. Has anyone ever suggested that the Hook Horror is based on Gigan from Godzilla vs. Megalon? Do I mean Gigan? Is Gigan's the one with the hooks for hands and Megalon's got like drills for hands? I think that's right, but it could be the other way around. I think it's Gigan. Hook Horrors look a little bit like Gigan. Anyway, so the Hook Horror, I think, originated in the Fiend Factory miniatures line and then became a monster that was published in Fiend Folio, although I wouldn't swear to that. I don't know, you know, which way round the write-up in the miniature went, but that's the order of, like, the release date of the model and the publication date of the book. From there, it went to the Dungeons & Dragons action figure line, and I'm not 100% sure why. If anyone knows anything about the kind of decision-making process behind the Dungeons & Dragons action figure line, I'd be delighted to hear it, because there are some decisions in it that seem in a way like not really to make any sense, and part of me wonders if they were just looking for something that was both something that TSR could copyright, so not like a dragon, and also something that LJN could produce. So there might be monsters that, you know, were more classically associated with D&D, but that maybe they thought, you know, the technology wasn't there to make the toy in a way that was affordable. And the Hook Horror, I guess, is a pretty simple monster design, so I suppose that might be the reason for its inclusion. Since it was one of the action figures, it of course turns up in the module Quest for the Heartstone, and now it's here. The illustration for the Hook Horror here has kind of a sort of comically demonic look to its face that I really like. Other than that, it's the Hook Horror, you're familiar with it, it's a horror. It's got hooks for hands. We've discussed it before, and I don't recall having had that much to say about it then. Next, we have the Hulker. Now, the Hulker is, you know, I was going to say it's pretty much an Amble, but I actually don't know what the stats for an Amble in Warhammer are like. Essentially, the Amble was an Umber Hulk. The Hulker is a bit like an Umber Hulk as well. It resembles an Umber Hulk, but it doesn't have either the Umber Hulk's confusing gaze or its ability to tunnel, so fundamentally, it is just a big claw monster. Not that there's anything wrong with that. A weird big claw monster is always a fun thing to have in your back pocket, but it does mean that I don't have that much to say about the Hulker. I think what's weird is just that it's so obviously the Umber Hulk, and I don't know why it's in this category of hook beasts. I don't know what makes you think that the Hook Horror and the Umber Hulk belong together, other than that this is just kind of the category for big claw monsters. So why not put them together? Which, if you're going to start doing that, I got some suggestions for different types of monsters you could combine into single overarching categories, and I wouldn't have started with these two. Both of these monsters are fine, it's just that the categorization is a little weird, which is about par for the course in Creature Catalog. Next we have the Hypno Snake. It originated in X3, The Curse of Xenophon, and it is a snake and it can hypnotize you. Hence, Hypno Snake. And this makes a lot of sense. Snakes are associated with this idea of hypnotizing people, like Ka in the Jungle Book, or the sort of stereotype of the snake charmer, the idea that cobras kind of sway side to side and hypnotize people. Great. It's an absolutely classic kind of pulp adventure trope, and it's nice to see it here. You got some rules in this section for how you can determine whether a character is looking into the Hypno Snake's eyes, which of course would be the number one source of at-the-table arguments, which it is desirable to avoid, so good for them. One thing that I think is notable about the Hypno Snake is that it is surprisingly tough for a monster where the core concept is really that it hypnotizes you and attacks when you're vulnerable. You don't have to be that tough to attack characters when they're vulnerable, but the Hypno Snake has 8 hit dice and its tail lash does D10 damage. So the tail lash of the Hypno Snake does more damage than being hit with a sword. And I think the reason for that is probably rooted in something that I already said, which is that this comes from X3, The Curse of Xenophon. I keep saying The Curse of Xenophon, I think it's actually just called The Curse of Xenophon. What I mean by that is that the X prefix on that module code tells you that this is for slightly higher level parties. And so the Hypno Snake has been designed for the context of that particular module, which means it has to be prepared to face the slightly more dangerous parties that you're going to get in an expert level adventure. This is something that we've seen a couple of times, and that we've seen a couple of variant monsters. Oh, this is an aquatic humanoid that you might find in B level adventures, and this is an aquatic humanoid that you might find in X level adventures. Basic adventurers might find themselves fighting a snake. Expert adventurers might find themselves fighting a Hypno Snake. That's fine, but it does mean that sometimes you wind up with a creature, and I think the Hypno Snake is an example of this, that is thematically, it makes sense for the Hypno Snake to be, you know, the kind of relatively lower level threat, and then mechanically, it's this higher level threat, maybe in a way that doesn't necessarily make an enormous amount of sense. But that's fine. I mean, it's stated for a particular scenario's difficulty, and it wouldn't be hard to take that concept and produce a monster with a more, like, universal application. I actually quite like the Hypno Snake. I don't like the name, but sometimes you have a monster that is going to have a particular name in a given scenario, right? Like, the villagers are like, ooh, be on guard against the mesmerizing cobra of Karandun. And that's all fine. But that's maybe not the name that you give it kind of behind the scenes. I do think that if the villagers say, beware the Hypno Snake, you are kind of undercutting the atmosphere a little bit. Alright, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, our journey through the monster section continues as we talk about the Ice Wolf and the Kopru, right here on Monster Man. a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening.
If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons Attribution License. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.